Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get back on track. We have a lot of distraction that just turns us away from the way we should be going. I mean, we had, it's those kind of distraction that derail us, that get us off track. Amen. So let's get back on track. Get back on track with the word. Get back on track with our life. Let's get back on track. Amen. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And I am your host, Elder QT. We are blessed to be here and to be a blessing to all of you. Amen. Praise God. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. Amen. I'm going to be coming to you out of the book of Jonah and showing how Jonah got off track and how he got back on track. And it's the same with our lives and how we get diverted and how we leave the promises and the hopes and how we leave our faith and our trust behind because of a calamity or a tragedy that stands in our way. And as we see that roadblock, we tend to say, hey, we're going to go to another direction. We're going to move to the left or to the right. Instead of staying on track, instead of staying focused, staying towards that light at the end of the tunnel, we get sidetracked. And we get off track, and then we end up backsliding, doing things that we wish we hadn't. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we are here to get our life back on track. We know that there will be diversions, distractions, disruption, disorder, disturbing situation. However, Father God, we know that in order for us to put our life back on track, we must be obedient to your word, Father God. We pray that we are suited for the battle to fight Satan's devices. And let's lean to you and for understanding and direction. Amen. Amen. Let's get back on track. God is just so good. There's a little story I'm about to tell. It was a man traveling. He was traveling through the desert. He was hungry. He was thirsty and tired when he found a tree that provided abundant shade, delicious fruit, and a spring ran under it. A water ran under the tree. The man ate of the fruit, drank of the water, and rested in the shade. When he was ready to resume his journey, he turned towards the tree and said, he said, tree, how should I bless you? Should I bless you with sweet fruit? Nah, your fruit is already sweet. Should I bless you with abundant shade? Nah, your shade is already abundant. Should I ask for a spring to run under you? Nah, a spring is already running under you. There's one thing with which I can bless you. May it be God's will for all the trees that comes from your seed to be like you. Amen. Isn't that what we want our children to which is our seed, to be like us? You know, if we bear good fruit, don't we want our children to bear good fruit? Amen. We all want that. this blessing is an act of gesture. It's whereby if we transmit the power of life to another, that's what it's all about. And if through our generosity, this tree story is telling us, transmit the power of life to another. Let's give our life. Let's give to other folks so they can transmit their light to other folks so folks can see what they are presenting, what they are representing, and they're representing our Lord and Jesus Savior. You know, Jay Leno used to, when he had his talk show, he went out on the street and he used to ask individuals different questions, and he interviewed them. And one night he asked this one young person, he said, a question about the Bible. Jay Leno said, he said, turned to the young person, he said, according to the Bible, he's asking this young person, he said, was eaten by a whale. He said, who, according to the Bible, was eaten by a whale? He asked the young man. And the confident young man said, Pinocchio. Now, we know that, unfortunately, we know that wasn't true. But we also know that we have church folks and saints and believers that they are clueless, too, about the book of Jonah. But when we open the book of Jonah, we must ask, as one preacher said, is this a tale of a whale or a whale of a tale? Do we believe that Jonah was actually eaten or swallowed by a whale? Some in our enlightened days think that this story of a fish swallowing a man is just not so. It's fiction. But let me just tell you, my brothers and sisters, there was a research of history done, often following documents that was done, accounted to just one of several Jonah-like incidents. Okay, this incident happened in February 1891. The Star of the East was whale hunting off the Falkland Islands in the South Atlantic. While pursuing a large sperm whale, one of the two boats were capsized by the Leviathan. Now, let me tell you about the Leviathan. Leviathan is a sea monster identified in different passages with the whale and crocodile. You can read about it in Job 41 and Psalms 74. And with the devil, you can read about that in Isaiah 27. It was a very large aquatic creature, especially a whale. It's in the Old Testament now, we know that Leviathan appears in Psalms 74 and 14 as a multi-headed sea serpent that is killed by God and given as food to the Hebrews in the wilderness. In Isaiah 27, the Leviathan is a serpent and a symbol of Israel's enemy who will be slain by God. Now, we know that the hunters went on to kill the whale, but fear two of their men had drowned. Now, James Bartley was one of the missing fishermen back in 1891. Now, the crew mourned their loss, but also had a tremendous task of preparing this giant sea monster. They worked until midnight, removing blubber from the 80-foot-long, 80-ton fish. The next morning, they hoisted the whale's stomach on the deck. To their surprise, they saw faint movement. Now, science of the editor of the journal back in those days, back in 1891, investigated the incident. He verified that James Bartley was indeed the reason for the movement. When the stomach was cut open, Bartley was found unconscious. He was bathed in seawater and placed in the captain's quarter for 2 weeks. He was confused and mentally disturbed. Yet, in 4 weeks, he had fully recovered and was able to recount his experience. For the rest of his life, he carried the scars of a bleached white face, neck, and hands. from the whale gastric acid. Now, isn't that something to think about? That is something to think about. We talk about someone being swallowed by a whale. Here it is in 1891, hundreds of years later, it actually happened. Amen. It actually happened. But while we have good reason to believe this story, there's a second miracle in this book that adds to its credibility. We know that Jonah, the prophet of God, honestly revealed his personal failure. You know, to some extent, we believe the prophet because we find ourselves in the story. We do. In fact, the book of Jonah is a great place to critique a spiritual condition because we find ourselves many times running from what God has asked us to do, running from trust, running from faith, running from religion. We're running. Amen. Those that desire to see God move in the church must grasp this truth. We will never see the moving of God collectively until we experience it personally. We must experience our journey in order to be a testimony to others. In this informational-based society, we have fixated on indicators. Indicators that tell us, watch it, look for this. We have the traffic light. We have the weather indicators. We have the economic indicator. We have the political indicator. We have the indicator lights in our vehicle telling us, hey, engine light, come on. Amazingly, it was the same in Jesus' day. Amen. For that matter, you know, we're talking about Jesus chided them for understanding the weather better than the spiritual condition of the day. As we prepare for revival and need, we need to examine our spiritual condition and a close look at a backsliding individuals might reveal some things we need to address. And what are those indicators? Well, I'm going to give you six indicators. Number one is we ignore God's word. You know, the word of God came to Jonah. Like when God speaks to us, are we listening? Let's get back on track. No, we're distracted. You know, it reminds us of that God constantly tries to speak to the heart of his people. Perhaps we should ask, has God spoken to your heart? In the area of your life, I know he has. God speaks to all of us. Really, it is not a question of whether God has spoken. You know, if you want to ask yourself that question, but whether we are listening, God speaks to us. Like he spoke to Jonah. But ultimately, it's the human nature. We ignore the word that speaks to our heart. I guess we ignore it for several reasons. We don't like what God says or commands. You know, God might ask us to do this. We say, oh, man, I don't want to do that. That's not feasible. That's not plausible. That's not prudent for me to do those things, Lord. Well, you know, like Jonah felt when he heard the Spirit say, go to Nineveh. He didn't like it at all. Concerning the Bible, someone wisely observed, you know, it says sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. See, when Christians, when saints, when believers drip from God, they typically begin here. You know, we don't love it as we should. You know, because when we love God and we love his word, we're going to be obedient to it. See, God's word is truly a love letter. When you read it, he's speaking to us. It's warm. It's fervent. It's telling us to, hey, listen, I'm guiding you. I care for you. I love you. I won't lead you astray. But when we love God, we will want to hear from him more. Amen. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. This guy named Charles Schultz, he has a sense of humor and insight when it comes to, you know, that Charlie Brown, that peanut comic strip. He said that in one run, he showed that Charlie Brown's sister, Sally, struggled with her memory verse for Sunday. For Sunday school, she was lost in her thoughts, trying to figure it out when she recalled. Maybe it was something from the book of reevaluation, she said. See, she never did find her memory. And she never did find the verse, but she sure gave us something to remember when it comes to studying the Bible. We must reevaluate it. We should always read it with the intent of reevaluating our attitude, our action, to make sure that we are squaring up with the Word of God, to make sure we are in alignment with the Word of God. Amen? But ignoring God's Word is an indicator that you need to return to God. When we ignore what God is directing us and guiding us and leading us, that's telling us that we need more of Him. We need to get back on track and return back to Him. You know, we need to, you know, we harbor the hidden sins from our past. All of us has. If we live long enough, we're going to have something that we're harboring. We're concealing. We're clandestining, keeping it a secret. There's a story about a drunken husband snuck up the stairs quietly one night. He looked into the bathroom mirror and bandages. He grabbed the bandages and he saw the bumps and bruises he received in a fight earlier that night. He was drunk, so he got into a bar fight. Then he proceeded to climb into the bed, smiling at the thought that he pulled one over on his wife. When morning came, he opened his eyes, and there stood his wife. She said, "You were drunk last night, weren't you?" He said, nah, honey, nah. "Well, if you weren't," she said, "then who put all the band-aids on the bathroom mirror?" You see, he was so drunk, he looked in the mirror, he saw the bruises. Instead of putting it on himself, he put it on the mirror. You see what I'm trying to say? We all try to hide our sin. But maybe you did it years ago. We all have. I have. But you have never confessed it or tried to apologize for it. Instead, you know how we do. We hope to sweep it under the rug or hide it in the closet. But maybe the sin we committed against a loved one, a friend, a family member, maybe it was an act of pleasure seeking. But the issue is this. You must address its spiritual impact on your relationship with God. You can't run. You can't hide. You can't run. You can't hide. God knows everything. Amen. Jonah has harbored his own hidden sin from his past. You know, look at his situation. You know, when God told him, hey, go to Nineveh, he hated Nineveh. Sometimes we hated to say sorry to someone because we never liked that person. And God told us, man, go ahead on and apologize. Who cares what he or she did? It's time to say, hey, I'm sorry, forgive me, whatever. But Jonah was his prejudice. See, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian and humane people that scoured the earth. What I mean by that, you can read that in Nahum 3:1-4. He said, the Assyrian had a strict take no prisoner policy. Amen. They will pull out the tongues of their captives and then skin them alive. And they left a conquered city. They piled the skulls as they left. They piled the skulls of their victims outside the ruins. See, Jonah experienced all of this. He hated those people. But the man named means dove. Jonah's name means dove in Hebrew. He had grown popular as the prophet that denounced the Assyrian. He denounced the Assyrian in their ways of treating humans. He thought it was inhumane what they did. And now he feared he will lose credibility if he will go to the Israelites, if he went there to preach the offer of grace to the Assyrian that God has instructed and commanded him to do. But his hidden sin, it came back to haunt him. We know that. Our hidden sins will come back to haunt us eventually. Nothing in the dark will stay there. Eventually the light is going to shine. But now it became the excuse for the rebellion against God. See, Jonah rebels against God because he knew that, hey, I don't like those people. I know what they did. I saw what they did to my people. I don't like them. We should all remember Numbers 23 that be sure in Numbers 32 and 23 it states, be sure your sin will find you out. So yeah, you think you're doing something cute. You think you might be stealing. You think you're taking drugs and not telling anyone. Yeah, you think you just commit a crime and you think you're getting away with it. But Numbers tells us in 32 and 23, be sure your sin will find you out. So whatever you do, yeah, you're cheating. Yeah, you're doing all kinds of stuff. You're drinking and driving. You're texting and driving. You're doing all kinds of stuff that you shouldn't be doing. Now, you know that it's wrong because you know it takes a split second and you're going to end up hitting someone. You're racing down the street like this one incident that happened the other day. A young brother was going to work at one of the Ford plants. Here he is speeding because he was late. He sped through a red light. Hit a six-year-old kid on a bike, killed the kid, kept on going. But they tracked him down. They caught him. Amen. Indicator two about why we should come back to God, you know, we neglect, you know, our evangelistic responsibility. You know, we are a reconciliation to Christ. We all know that we need to preach against what God does not believe. We all need to preach and proclaim the word of God. No, God, like God told Jonah, go back and preach against the Nineveh. See, most of us know that the Jews are God's chosen people. But have you ever thought about what they were chosen to do? You ever wonder, why are the Jews God's chosen people? Well, let me tell you this. They were chosen to take the knowledge of God to the nation. See, when God called Abraham to become the father of his people, the Lord told the patriarch, out of your seed will the nation be blessed. Amen. Let's get back on track. God entrusted evangelism to his people, to us, to the Gentiles too. And now the church is under the Great Commission of our Lord. We have the responsibility to carry the gospel to the world. But are we sharing our faith? Are we? You know, this redemptive work of God in the world, we, you know, sometimes we don't want to go out into the highways and byways and compel others to the word of God. See, God, he loves the world and sent us to them. He sent us to the world. See, the love of God is available to the wicked and vile, as well as to the civil and self-righteous. Amen. Get back on track. God has given us the opportunity to carry out this great commission, to go out there and let's pull these others that need help, that needs God's word, that needs the strength, the faith, the trust, the hope. Amen? See, Nineveh, the Assyrians represent the unconverted that desperately need to know both God's love and their impending judgment. That's why God asked Jonah to go there. These people are a dying breed. If you don't go there and help them, we know that where their destiny is going to lie. So Jonah the prophet represents the one that was sent to share God's love. He was glad to speak for God to the good people, but refused to speak to those who appeared to need the gospel the most. The one that was doing the killing, the one that was doing, you know, the skinning of the people, the killing of the children and chopping off their heads and doing this. See, he didn't want to speak to those people. But those sick people, as we know, needs the healing that God is bestowing upon us to do. Amen. See, our indifference to the, you know, when we ignore, what I'm trying to say, the indicators that we need to return to God, look at your situation and see if you're doing what God is asking you to do. Amen. You know, when we decide to deliberately, intentionally disobey God, you know, we notice that singular word called however. It's like Jonah, when Jonah knew exactly what God required. Like, we should know what God required of us. However, instead of listening, that's that word, however, instead of listening, he decided to willfully disobey God. Now, disobedience is a Gentile word for rebellion. When God asks us to do something, when we know we're supposed to do something, when we hear God tell us, the Spirit tell us, hey, go do this, and we refuse, we disobedient, we are rebellious against God. Amen? But for some reason, we have come to believe that God is willing to compromise with us, to bargain with us over his command, over his instruction. Nah, I don't think that's so. See, we tend to think that it is reasonable for God to make exception to his own rule. Or at least we compromise to some degree on his expectation. Wrong answer. God is not going to compromise with what he asks us to do. God knows what he wants done. Amen. He knows this. God does not negotiate his command. He didn't for Abraham. Amen. He didn't for Moses or David. Amen. And he will not do it for us. Who do we think we are? We are nobody. Amen. Let's get back on track, my brothers and sisters. Let's get back. It's time to return to God. You know, see, if you testify, I believe in God, but then qualify it with a however or but, then you need to return to God. You have so many people say, oh, man, I'm a Christian. Or I believe in this because God said it. However, but you do just the opposite of what you believe. That's letting you know you need to return back to God. You need to start running back to him. It's your responsibility. Don't be irresponsible. See, when it comes to our calling, the Christian can find himself. The saints can find themselves. The believers, we, him or her, can find ourselves in one or three situations. And it happens to all of us. We all backslide, but we all get back on track. We never started. Or we'll start but quit. And you're making excuses. We all make excuses. Oh, I'm working 16 hours a day. I overslept. My car broke down. There's a 1,001, half a dozen and others. But going strong in service, but consider how irresponsible it is for you to personally run from your God. God-given assignment. We personally run from God-given assignment. God give us an assignment. He give us a mandate. But yet we find something more interesting to do. You know, you go into the clubs, or you're going to the basketball game, or you're going to the casino, or you're going to whatever, when you know you're supposed to be at church, or when you know you're supposed to be ministering to someone, when you know you're supposed to be comforting or counseling someone. But yet we tend to ignore our God-given assignment. Let's get back on track, my brothers and sisters. Besides that, think of the eternal consequences for those God intends for you to minister to. Think of it. Think of what you might do to them just because of your rebellion self. You don't want to minister to because you don't like him. You don't want to minister to him because he or she is dirty. You don't want to minister to him because they're in a shelter. You don't want to minister to them because they're not up to your criteria. You don't want to minister to them. Let's get back on track. Amen. You know, when we talk about, you know, Tarshish, you know, the insanity running from God, you know, what is your Tarshish? Is this the place you have gone to that is the opposite of God's will for your life? I mean, Jonah tries to run as far from God's call as possible. His rebellion led him to do that which he would never have considered previously. You can't run from God. It's impossible to run from God. You can't run as Lee Williams said, you can't run, you can't hide. You can't do it. Do you truly think you can escape to some Tarshish from God, to some closet, to some far end of the earth? Of course not. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. But you cannot hide from God. You know, you should consider questioning yourself. What has God called you to do? Amen. Have you questioned yourself? Have you took inventory of your assignment or what you need to do? What has God called you to do? What has God given you a passion about? Oh, come on. We all know we're passionate about something. We have that gift that God has given us. Amen. What has God given you a passion to do? I mean, some people build. So you can build for others. Some people are great chefs. We can cook for others. Be a blessing. God has given us a passion. Some of us teach us. Some of us preach us. Some of us prophesy. Some of us evangelize. Some of us are apostolize. Some of us do it because we know the gift that God has given us, that passion we have. Some of us sing because we have that passion to sing for the Lord. And when we sing, we minister to others. What's your passion? What's your passion? Your passion, my brothers and sisters. What are you supposed to do? Do you know what you're supposed to do with it? And when should you do it? Amen. Get back on track. Get your life back on track. Do what God has commanded you to do. Amen. We know God is just delivering us. He's directing us. He's you know, God called us to ministry, you know, and God knows that all of us has been called and has a passion for something, and we cannot run because he's going to stop you somewhere along the journey and tell you, you did not stop by this one house. You did not stop by the church. You did not. You did not. So what are you supposed to do? And when should you do it? Amen. You can't run, because God will run faster and God will run you down. And God will call you a second time. And God will call you a third time. And God will give you many chances to get back on track. So my brothers and sisters, let's get back on track. Neglecting, you know, our calling is an indicator that we need to return back to God. We need to return to God. We need to get back on track. When we neglect the calling, the gifts that God has given us, amen, we need to get back on track. You know, if we disregard God's correction in the midst of storm like Jonah did, you know, God will send more storms. You think we got away with something, he's gonna get our attention. There's going to be some obstruction in the way. Something's going to make you think, you know, what did I do? You know, why is this happening to me? My brother and sister, yeah, we will stop and say, well, what's going on? You know, falling into we might fall into a deep sleep. Like Jonah did, his sleep is a good metaphor for spiritual indifference. That means we're rebellion. Some people today are so asleep that they completely miss what God is trying to say to them. You need to wake up, my brothers and sisters, and get back on track. Let's get back on track. God is just speaking to you. God is talking to you. Look around you. See what God has placed before you. The indicators are there. And if you don't see the indicators, if your eyes of understanding is closed to you, then that's telling you, amen, you need to get back on track. You need to return to God and get directions, because your understanding that you're leaning on has just collapsed. While the next message that is addressing you, you must remember that the Lord's, and we are the Lord's disciple, the one he loves. And he will never lead us astray. He will never forsake us. All we have to do is listen. Draw on your passion, if nothing else. Your passion will tell you where God wants to take you. Amen. Get back on track. What's your passion? If you're an artist, draw for God. Draw for God. If you're a seamstress, sew for God. Amen. If you talk a lot, speaks for God. Amen. If you're a runner, your passion is running, run for God. Run with his word from A to B to C to Z. Just run with his word. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. So how do you return from God? How do you return to God? You know, there was this story about this slave owner, and this guy was an atheist. He was ruthless. And he used to transport slaves from the old country, from the African countries, to the New World, as they said. And his name was John Newton. He was the author, like we all love this song, he was the author of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And this John Newton was the author of that song. But he was a racist. He was everything to think of. Governing grace and forgiveness through humility, honesty, and confession. Newton signed on with a slave ship one day, leaving from Africa with his cargo. He was an experienced sailor and navigator. But his cursing and blasphemy turned hardened sailor ears red. This man was something else. He blasphemed. He talked about God like it was nobody's business. Cursed God like it was nobody's business. He was a true atheist. Soon the ship was caught in a horrible storm and was taking in water. The crew had to pump 24 hours a day to stay afloat. But the constant wind rocked the boat so dangerously that the sailor had to tie themselves to the deck to keep from being swept overboard. At one point, several of the crew tried to throw Newton, tried to throw his butt overboard. Because they figured, I guess, he's another Jonah. And maybe if we throw him over, the storm will subside. But they figured that God was punishing him like they did Jonah of the Old Testament, obviously. So the captain declared that the only way the ship would make it into safe harbor was by God's power. He commanded, the captain did, everyone, including Newton, the atheist, to pray, "God, if you're true," Newton praying earnestly, "make good your word. Cleanse my vile heart." Newton prayed this. He said, "God, if you're true," here's this atheist praying now, because you know he wants to live like everyone else. He's praying. He prayed earnestly that, "make good your word. Cleanse my vile heart." You know, God, you know, the God word said, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, after 4 weeks of storm and constant brushing with death, the ship limped into an Irish port. John Newton, the former free thinker, the former slave trader and atheist, declared his faith in Jesus. Amen. Tell me what God can do. God can do anything. He became a well-known preacher and writer. In fact, like I told you before, you know him as the author of the hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet to sound. Boy, tell me what God cannot do. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. I have one more inspirational story for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. There was a voyage going on, and the ship was wrecked during a storm at sea. Another shipwreck, another shipping at sea, and only two of the men on it were able to swim to a small desert island. The two survivors who have been a good friend, not knowing what else to do, agreed that they had no other recourse but to pray to God. However, to find out whose prayer was more powerful, they agreed to divide the territory between them and stay on opposite side of the island. Amen. He said the first thing they prayed for was food. The next morning, the first man saw a fruit-bearing tree on his side of the island, and he was able to eat its fruit. The other man's parcel of land remained barren. After a week, the first man was lonely, and he decided to pray for a wife. Amen. The next day, another ship was wrecked, and the only survivor was a woman who swam to his side of the island. On the other side of the island, there was nothing. Amen. Soon the first man prayed for a house, clothes, more food. The next day, like magic, all of those were given to him. However, the second man still had nothing. Finally, the first man prayed for a ship so that he and his wife could leave the island. In the morning, he found a ship docked at his side of the island. The first man boarded the ship with his wife and decided to leave the second man on the island. Boy, you talking about selfish, self-centered, amen? But he considered the other man unworthy to receive God's blessing. That's his thinking. He sounded like the Pharisees and Sadducees doing all the praying. and make a statement about individuals. Now, as the ship was about to leave, the first man heard a voice from heaven, booming. "Why are you leaving your companion on the island?" the voice said. "My blessings are mine alone, since I was the one who prayed for them." Amen. How selfish can one be? The man said, "My blessings are mine alone, since I was the one who prayed for them." The first man answered, "His prayer were all unanswered, so he does not deserve anything. He does not deserve the food. He does not deserve to board this ship with us. He does not deserve to leave the island." And the voice came and said, "You are mistaken," the voice told the first man. The voice rebuked the first man. The voice said he had only one prayer, the voice told the first man, "which I answer for him." The voice said, "If not for that, you would not have received any of my blessing." "Tell me," the first man asked the voice, "what did he pray for that I should owe him anything? Why should I thank him? What did this man pray for? What did he pray for? I received everything that was given to me. He received nothing." And the voice came down and said, "He prayed for that all your prayers be answered." Well, I'm telling you when other people pray for other people and these other people are prospering and doing well and getting healed, they don't take a back seat and they don't take time and they don't meditate on what others have done, their prayers are doing for them. Too self-centered. They think that only their prayers are being answered. But that's a wrong answer. If it wasn't for the prayers of others, if it wasn't for, the saints praying for you and me, our prayers will not be answered. Amen. See, our blessings are not our prayers alone, but our blessings are those of others praying for us as well. You know, we need to value our friends. Don't leave them behind. Because when we get something, we think we're so high and mighty, we decide to leave them behind because we think we did it all by our might. Wrong answer. We did not. It was the prayers of others that helped pull us through. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to our listening audience, you know, if you have not found God, if you're not returned back to God, if you're out there reaching for straws, if you're out there, just begging for a hand, if you're out there, let's not us be selfish and walk by you. Let's be that good Samaritan that we see someone that's in need. Let's be that good Samaritan to pick them up and let's take them to the doctor. Let's buy him some food. Let's put clothes on his back. Let's be that good Samaritan. Let's not be so selfish that we think we have it all and we did it all by our might. Wrong answer. We did not. We did not. Now, if we out there reaching, if we looking for that faith, that trust, that religion that's going to help, the word of God is going to help pull us to that point where our salvation, where we could surrender all to him. You know, Romans 10:9 will tell you, it said, if you declare with your mouth, find yourself a good Bible-based church. Find yourself something where you can just say, "Lord, I surrender all." If you just declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, trust, faith, and hope that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Our God is an awesome God, and he is there for us. I want to thank you for this Thursday Thirst for Truth. I'm thanking you for putting me back on track while I help you get back
on track.
Our God is an awesome God. So I want to thank you and let God continue to shine his face upon you and as you pray for me and I pray for you. And we know that the miracle, miraculous, marvelous, majestic work of God, watch and see what he will do. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. I want to thank you and be blessed. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. I'm your host, Elder QT. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters. Be a blessing to others. Amen.
Whatever I do, I'll get it right. With no regret, no guilt or shame. This time, no, not this time. When I surrender, I won't dare look back. 'Cause if I do, I'll get off track. Ahead in faith and patiently await your answer. What will it be? Sight beyond what I see. You know what's best for me. Prepare my mind, prepare my heart for whatever.
Praise the Lord, everyone. We want to thank you for just tuning in. Stand faithful. We want to encourage you to stay on track. Stay on track. Things happen to get us off track. So it's important that we understand that the enemy is on his job. He'll send storms. And God will allow storms. And a lot of times we get off track because of disobedience, as Jonah was disobedient to what God told him to do. And he ended up staying, 3 days and three nights in the belly, in the whale's belly. So, and then think about it. And the Son of Man, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It was symbolic. He wasn't disobedient, but Jonah was, and he got off track. So disobedience can open the door for other things to happen, and God knows what will get us back on track. And usually is what we cherish, is what we lose. Our health, maybe our appearance, our finance, our reputation, power, control, pride. You'll lose that so God can win to get us back on track, to get us to our weakest point. And then God often breaks the strongest link. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So some storms were sent to redirect us. Others are sent to strengthen us. And how do you know when to jump ship, like Jonah did, or to just see it through? So I just want to encourage you to stay in the presence of the Lord. Talk to him. Listen to him. And let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. He will direct you. And then that's when you can sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. But Elder, I want to thank you for just staying on track. I want to thank you for just bringing it to our attention how the enemy will try to get us off track and cause us to walk in disobedience so that we can miss the mark. Amen. So again, I just want to thank everyone. I just want to send the love of God to each and every home that's on the line. And while I have you here, before we get off the line, I want to ask everyone if you would lift up Gabrielle in prayer. She is, I believe she's two, and she is a set of, she's a twin. And she's been struggling since birth. Actually, before she came out of her mother's womb, she's been fighting for life. So I want to ask you to connect with your prayer partners and lift up Gabrielle. God has an assignment for her. The enemy want to destroy her lungs, and we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So I want to ask you to get into the faith fight with us as we intercede on her behalf. Amen, amen, amen. I just want to say, stay on track because God has some good things in store for you. We want to say God bless everyone and thank you for joining in. Our second broadcast will pick up on our next scheduled time, so we won't be having our regular 6 p.m. For Me and About Me program. But nevertheless, same time, same place. At 5 o'clock on the following schedule broadcast. God bless everyone. We love you. Go in God's speed and just stay on track. God bless everyone.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment. In these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Come on, say, say all. Woo! I have in these hands and multiply, God. All that I am and find my heart on the altar.